Hello, Spence here. Welcome to our third part in the Story series. Remember, we're looking at two things. We're looking at the whole story of the Bible, how it's all pointing towards Jesus, and how that makes sense of our story too. So far, we have seen that God created the world and that he made a people to live with him, to live under his rule, and to be in God's place. God's people under his rule in his place. And we saw that Adam and Eve turned against God. There was the fall. All of those things, people, rule, and place, were taken away, were broken, were ruined. But then last week we saw that there was a promise that God would make them a nation, a great people, that they would be given a land, they would have a place, and that they would obey, believe that promise, and be God's people under his rule. Today we pick up where we left off. If you remember last time, we found that the people of God had ended up in Egypt, that Joseph had gone there and he was joined by all his brothers. And there was just a small group of them. But today, at the beginning of the book of Exodus, let me read chapter 1, 6 to 11, we see that they grow into a nation. They are a people. They fulfill that promise. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful, and they multiplied greatly, increasing in number, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Remember that promise of they would be a nation. We hear it described that there would be so many people that they would be as many as the stars in the sky. Look at this, it's coming true. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. So you've got that fulfillment of the promise, they are now a people, but now the issue is who is ruling over them. They are now ruled over a pharaoh that is oppressing them, is concerned about the influence they'll have, and is crushing them down in slavery. And through the book of Exodus, you see that actually God fulfills his promise of releasing them from this slavery. There is Moses is raised up, and through those 10 plagues, God pursues Pharaoh so that he will release his own people. And ultimately, we see that saving work, which is a picture of how God then saves time and time again. It's like the pattern that sets in place the rolling theme of the Bible. He eventually saves them through the substitute, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The final plague is that all the firstborn children in the land will die. That the Israelites face that too. But a lamb is sacrificed, and its blood is placed over the door. And then the judgment that they deserve passes over them. And they're to remember that time. They're to remember the Passover. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go, and they escape, and they go into the wilderness. They go through the Red Sea as they do that. It's a story of freedom, a story of escape from slavery. And as we drop into how that makes sense of our story, well, I think it's in the human nature that we long to be free from oppression. Just look at the news around us. There is a human instinct to be free from any power that is bad, that is over and above us. An escape from oppression, often that's really, really good. It's a good pattern to escape from poor powers that are over us. We see that in the really big scale and kind of civil liberty type issues, but also we see it in the small. We see so often in jobs, people feel trapped. Many situations, people feel trapped and enslaved to the situation they're in. Want to escape the job that they're in. I think if we ask ourselves honestly, often the urge inside us is to escape from feeling trapped, to try and find some freedom somewhere. But there's a couple of problems for us as humans. I think this is particularly true of our time right now. We have more freedom than I think most humans have had throughout the whole of history. But I think one of the problems is we don't know what we're free for. We have all this freedom, but we're left to ourselves to construct what we're free to do. what we're free for. And I think that has led to a massive outpouring of anxiety. It's not the only issue, I'm not saying that. But I do think when you're left to go, I've got to construct what is meaningful and purposeful in this life. I need to devise my own life of how to live, become my own ruler. That's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. I need to decide what freedom is. I think that contributes to the sense of loneliness that many live with, because everyone has to forge their own path. I decide what my freedom is to be. But actually, I think in the book of Exodus, and this is a pattern in the Bible, we see that we're saved, the people of God are saved from slavery, but they're saved for something, to something better. Exodus 19, verse 4, says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So they've been saved from Egypt, they've been brought to themselves, to God himself. "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Do you hear that? So they've been saved from slavery in Egypt, and God brings them out to be his own people and calls them to obey what he's going to teach them. And that's what we see in the next little chunk of the Bible. God gives them the law. Now, I think we have a messed up view of the law often. They are saved and God is giving them the law as a good way to live. He's saying, this is me ruling over you as a good, kind, loving God who's telling you the best way to live, so that God would be honored and that humans might flourish. We're told how to live under a good, kind God. Like a good father telling their child, this is the best way to live. You're my son, I love you, and I want you to live in the best way. And then he also gives them plans for how to build the tabernacle, which is like a tent version of the temple. And the whole point of that is because God is going to dwell with them, he's going to live with them in this tabernacle. So they are free from slavery, and now they have God in their very presence, they get to live with him, and they're told how to live. That is a relief, that is a moment of going, this is how humans flourish. I know now. I've been told. But, and here is where we see the second problem of humanity, we see that even as God is giving this good law, the second problem is us humans, we do not keep it. We don't live in the way that is best for us. We don't live in the way that will help us flourish. They turn away from God and they worship a golden calf instead. And I think where we tap back into our story, that's the problem we find. We might try to find freedom from something, but we find in fact we're always enslaved to our own weaknesses, to our own brokenness, to our own sin, and we can't escape that. No matter how much we change the circumstances, we can't change the fact that we are still broken and veer off in the wrong directions. And in the rest of the Bible, we see, and we'll see next week, that there is a solution given for that. In fact, we see it predicted in the Old Testament. But I want to not leave us with that hanging over us, because even here we see how this links us to Jesus, who is our ultimate saviour. Jesus is the true Passover lamb. He saves us from our slavery to ourselves by being the sacrifice, by being the substitute in our place. His blood, like the blood of the lamb, frees us. But he frees us to something. He frees us to relationship with God, and he frees us to have a new heart so we can live for him. And ultimately, we will go home to be with God, and we'll live that way. Hope that helps. Let me pray for us briefly before we look forward to the next week. Father, thank you that you free us from slavery to ourselves, from slavery to sin, from slavery to death. But you also free us for something. You free us to know you and to live in a good way under your rule. Help us to do that. Help us to be very thankful for what Jesus has done, and to be very reliant on the Spirit's help. Amen.